welcome to the Comicast. I'm Craig.
I'm Liam.
And this is our first interview special with a...
Is that what we're calling them, specials?
Interview special. Well, yeah. Interview regular. That's what they're called.
Yeah, they're special to us.
Especially this episode, yeah. Which is our first interview, which we recorded a few weeks ago with Chris Judge.
Mr. Chris Judge.
Of chrisjudgeillustration.blogspot.com.
You may have seen, you must have seen possibly some of the Vodafone rabbits, which are all over the country on bins and buses and everywhere.
Yeah.
Because he did them.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Dystopia, the comic, which is in Totally Dublin every month.
Yes, that's true. And also on his website. Yeah, that's right, with his brother Andrew. Yeah. And his stuff is really cool.
Yeah, he actually drew the images of us up on the website.
Yeah.
www.comicast.com.
I like the way we have to plug that.
Yeah. Even though two have listened to this,
yeah.
They have probably visited that website. Tell your friends. I think we should apologize
really?
At the start of this interview, yes. What the listeners won't be able to tell from this interview is that when we met Chris Judge, we were blown away by both his beauty and his charm. And thus, for the whole interview, I believe we're giggling like fucking smitten schoolgirls, you know. Like two fucking 16-year-olds that met Justin Timberlake and got to interview him for 25 minutes. You'll hear this pointed out. Chris Judge will say stuff
that's entirely serious.
And we will giggle like little bitches.
Yeah. So,
we promise in the future to restrain laughter. You want
to
go?
Just to give you some background, we went to meet Chris at his studio in Dublin, which was like...
one of the coolest places on earth.
Yeah, just that.
You don't need to give his address.
All stuff. Yeah, I was thinking, should I? No. So that's where one day we went to meet Chris.
Yeah.
And
we recorded this.
I guess welcome to the Comicast. I'm Liam.
I'm Craig.
And sitting in front of us is Chris. Cheers. How are you?
Great. Thanks. Thanks for podcasting me, or podgramming as Stephen Fry says.
Podgramming.
Yeah.
Podgram.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you actually have an exhibition on at the minute, isn't it? An online exhibition.
It just finished last Monday, so that didn't go too well. But it was kind of an experiment that I did with a friend of mine, Keith. So we just wanted to see what would happen if we tried it online. So we had 22 pieces and 3 sold. So
yeah. Oh no.
But it's grand. The idea was just to see what would happen, and then so we'll probably sell the paintings elsewhere then.
Something you consider doing again? Or?
Yeah, definitely. We kind of ran out of steam beforehand, so we didn't have time to kind of promote it.
So
I think next time we'll definitely put a bit more pre-time into it, if you know what I mean.
That was on the was it Turtlehead website?
Yeah, Turtlehead, yeah, the t-shirt.
And that's like an Irish kind of t-shirt company, isn't it?
It's an Irish t-shirt company, but they have international people kind of working on it as well, so, or not working on it, like submitting pieces, so.
Oh,
because anyone around the world can submit to it, but they have a fair few Irish people on it as well.
Alright.
That's cool.
Excellent. And the last big exhibition you had was Xanadu. Have we got that right?
I did one just after that with a friend of mine, Fergal Brennan, so
okay.
That was kind of a smaller scale thing, but the last kind of solo one I did was Xanadu, last October.
Is that the one with some of the pieces I see here with the
There's a couple of them left here, so it's these kind of this big one here and these kind of blue guys as well. So,
and was that the one with that had some of the like kind of vampire kind of looking guys?
Yeah, there was the vampire guys as well.
Yeah.
There's a couple of the toys left as well from that. the decapitated heads.
Yeah, yeah. How do you go about, like, because I'm not sure about you, Hank, but I have no idea how you would go about setting up an exhibition.
The first one I did was October 2006, and literally just kind of got onto a friend of mine, Ashling, who runs the the loft down in Erskirt. And I was just looking for a small space, and she said, "Oh, we can give you that. It's just opening. We give you it for a good price for a couple of days." So, just kind of literally did the paintings, hung them up, and sent out the invitations, and it just worked. So, I think I was probably just about ready to do that because before that, no one really knew my work at all. So
yeah.
So it was kind of good timing, I think.
Yeah. Well, where, like, how did you, like, I guess, start off in the first place in terms of like your career? You know what I mean?
I'm mainly like a commercial illustrator, so I do a lot of advertising, and I kind of started out doing editorial and stuff for the Irish Times and that kind of thing, and then kind of got into advertising, which I love doing. Like it's cool fun. But I just end up using the computer way too much, so I just bought loads of paints and canvases and just went, oh yes, this was like get messy and have fun. So that really inspired me to kind of just develop my style more than that.
What kind of like remit would you get when say an advertising job comes in, like say like I've seen the Vodafone bunnies everywhere and all this, is it, you know, are they very specific in what they're looking for, or
it kind of depends. Like for the rabbit thing, they knew they wanted rabbits because they had this the campaign was kind of based about rabbiting on, like but they were cool. They just like let me kind of come up with a bunch of characters, a bunch of different rabbits, and then they went, oh yeah, we like this one, so go with that. So I was like, great, because they kind of looked at my paintings first and said, we want it more like that kind of style than your, a lot of the commercial stuff I was doing was kind of Tracy stuff, which I really just hated, and I don't do that anymore. So so that was cool. That was a really, really nice thing to get.
How many bunny things did you do for Vodafone? Because I've seen I don't know how many. I keep on seeing new ones.
As they were saying, they bred like rabbits. So it was actually started off as one. So it was supposed to be this one character. It was just, you know, this little blue rabbit standing there. And then they went, well, Vodafone liked them. Maybe you do one for, you know, holidays or students or whatever. And then it just kind of expanded and it turned into a lovely little series. So I think there was 20 in the end. About 18 different rabbits in the end. Wow. So yeah, it was cool.
Awesome.
And they kind of developed as they went.
Kind of crazier.
Yeah, they kind of got more well and, which was good fun because the first one was very tame, I think.
Compared to the later ones.
Yeah, which is good fun.
There's a cool one in there where he's just like, he's kind of in like a toy box and he's got like a little mobile phone or something.
And
in
a little rabbit. That was my favourite one. Or a little carrot.
Carrot.
That was my favourite one, actually. Yeah, right. I really enjoyed that one because they were kind of talking about, you know, the Action Man or the Star Wars figures kind of thing, and he sent me a sketch, pretty much what I had done, but I added in the little phone and the carrot, which, you know, you get that little wire to
and
stuff. So. But that was cool. Yeah, that was nice to be able to do that one.
And I guess we've seen a lot on your blog. Photographs of stuff you've done, like on buses and stuff, and
chasing buses. Like I know, on my bike, nearly killing myself. Because for a long time, I'd see stuff in magazines or in ads and go, "Oh, look, I did that," and just not record them, which was so stupid. Because then, you know, a year down the road, you go, "Oh, I'd love to have seen it. I'd love to have kept a memento of that." So I've been now chasing buses around.
Well, it must be a great feeling to see a bus driving by with something drawn on the back.
The first time I saw a bus thing was this fruit pastilles thing, and it was this big explosion of juice kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I was in just in a taxi, I think, and I was like, Jesus, that's my thing. I didn't know that. And your mom's going, what are you talking about? Like, what? The text man just couldn't understand. I was like, I did those things. Very like a spy. I was kind of but yeah, it's a really nice feeling to see it at scale. Like, so it's cool.
How easy is it to like design those kind of wraparounds for the bus? Is it?
Well, I just apply the artwork and they kind of give me a template that has to fit in, and then you work kind of closely with a designer who knows how to
fit it around
blow
the
windows. It fits exactly onto the thing. Right. So there's a bit of tweaking as you go, but it's cool.
And we've seen somewhere, what was it about the McDonald's? You have some stuff in McDonald's. Somewhere in Dublin, is it?
The one on Grafton Street and the one on O'Connell Street as well. Yeah, that was the first kind of big job I did about 5 years ago, I think. So that was... Yeah, that's ages ago. There's a bunch of stuff from back then that's still up, and it's like my style has just changed completely. So it's kind of like looking at stuff you did when you're a teenager, and it's like, oh, God. But I'm still proud of it, but it's just very weird to see.
I guess, well, speaking of older stuff, we've seen that comic you did, the zombie.
Dead Zombies.
Yeah,
we were
ready. Because you were saying like that it You just found that, like, from years and years and years ago?
The first laptop I ever bought, it was kind of dead for ages. I hadn't even seen it. It was up in the attic for a while. And I dug it out, and I knew that there was a bunch of stuff I hadn't backed up, because I usually just transfer everything onto new computers. And actually, I've totally forgotten about it, and then I found the files. I found actually one of the original pages, and I was like, holy shit. So I dug out the... I found the laptop at the same time, dug out the files, and I was like, wow, these are cool. Like, yeah. I mean, the amount of time I spent on them back then, it was like weeks on six pages.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So but yes... Yeah, you saw them go.
Yeah, saw them go. Yeah. We're not. I've been hacking into your. Yeah. Go through your trash.
You've been up in your attic.
You two guys, everyone.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Did you do a lot? Like, would you have done a lot of comics like that? Like around the time, or
no? It was. I really, really wanted to do comics back then. Like, and before I was kind of doing any kind of commercial stuff, trying to like make a living out of it. So it was just after I left college, and I was really trying to come up with something, but I was writing it myself, and I'm not, that's obviously the weak part, so I can do the drawing bit okay, but so then with all the new stuff my brother writes it, so I can just concentrate on the
drawing.
So the writing in that zombies thing is that's terrible. So. But yeah, I really like the art.
The art's right.
Yeah, yeah, it is really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of time spent on it.
Our podcast is like 90% zombies at the moment. That's our
yeah. Oh, our so far, all we've been talking about is like The Walking Dead and Marvel zombies. I guess actually, since you mentioned the comic you're working on now with your brother,
yeah,
Andrew,
yeah,
Dystopia,
yeah,
book one. Did that come out? Did that come out in strips in
Dublin?
Totally Dublin. Yeah, it just came out every month. Same. So, but yeah, it never. That was it. It was just the monthly thing. So we'd love to obviously. Get something printed down the road, like
volume. So it's never been printed.
I've never had anything kind of printed as a kind of official comic. But definitely want it. But because there's some of the older dystopia stuff is again terrible. Like and then there'll be months because I pretty much do month to month. So some months it'd be like, Chris, have you got that artwork? We need it this afternoon. It's like, so some really dodgy episodes. But so I think I'm going to redraw some of the kind of dodgy ones, and then we're just going to take every panel, and then just kind of use the panels and do this kind of weird random story and do a proper book basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Re-edit it, if you know what I mean.
Cool.
So yeah, it should be good. It's another year, and we should have enough for a nice slim. Issue anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Because we're reading book one.
It's online, isn't it?
Yeah, it is online. Yeah, it's online. Which is like, it's really good. Like, it's
It's because it's done month to month as well. It jumps around a bit, and it's it does need an edit definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we're really
brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
It's cool.
And especially the design. I love the kind of pastel colors that change.
The
colors,
that's the thing, because we just wanted to keep it kind of almost dull. So there's three kind of main characters in that, and they have a colour each.
Yeah.
So you can see when it's slipping into their story or whatever.
Yeah.
That was definitely rather than do a full colour, just keep it kind of boring and
it's kind of. But it works well.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Dan Clowes and big, like, we're big fans of Dan Clowes.
Aren't we all?
Chris Ware, so it's that kind of.
Yeah.
I just love the mood that the two of them set. So heavily influenced by that, I'd say.
Yeah. And is it actually? I'm just wondering, is it kind of set in like a future Dublin, or is it just set in somewhere different?
I think originally it was supposed to be future Dublin, but I think it's just set in this city where there's a billion people living in it. It's kind of like a mega city, from Jersey Dread kind of mega city. But that there's like the idea is that there's no crime. There isn't even hardly any police, and if there is, it's for accidental deaths or something. So it's so boring and so dull that there's an even crime. I think that's what we're going to work on the next book. So it's just like, maybe there's a crime and it's just like, the whole city goes, wow, exciting! We'll have to see what happens.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
And I guess the other comic is The Team.
The Team, that was the first thing kind of me and Andrew did together. So it was I'd been drawing those characters for a while. He just came up with this story that they're these kind of time traveling. They've been stuck on Earth for 100 years, so we're getting it like they basically that kind of Zelig or what's that other film, Forrest Gumpy thing, where they're kind of influencing famous events. So yeah, I mean that was me really learning to redraw again, because I've just been using computers so much. So
yeah,
Is there only the one issue of that, or is
That's all we did. Just
and are you planning on doing any more?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I'd love to redraw some of the pages of that and panels and stuff. But I think we should. We'd love to try and get it printed anyway.
Oh, excellent!
Did that ever come out as like an actual?
No, again, physical. No, we're just kind of crap. We do all this, do all this really hard work and then just go on. So we need to. I think we should.
Yeah, definitely, because it seems kind of it seems mad, because there's quite a lot of Irish comics out there, but just when you see something like this that's Irish, that is like really good, like, and a lot of these comics are really good, but just that when it's online and people mightn't have even seen it.
I feel stupid that we haven't actually done it, but I mean there is some amazing Irish comics, and I just picked up a copy of Mr. Bob Bernsing, Mr. Amperduke.
Yeah, wow, that is.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus,
that's a really great piece of work. Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. So that was kind of the first thing I went, oh, big proper Irish comic.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of cool. So I was kind of holding it up, but I had gone, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that kind of made us go, oh, Jesus, maybe we should, do something with our stuff.
I remember when my copy of that came in the post, and he put in like a little
panel.
From it. I was like, yes.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, he's given me a free panel from the actual original artwork.
Every
order, I think.
That's cool.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Is there any other set of Irish comics that you would kind of...
I'm actually very out of touch at the moment. I stopped buying comics for years.
Yeah.
I actually stopped just as I started drawing them. But I kind of... There was a bit of period of 3 or 4 years where I just couldn't find anything I liked, and I buy all the Fantagraphic stuff because I love it, Love and Rockets and Chris Ware and all that stuff, but there was nothing else, like no one else was really doing it, so I just didn't go into the comic shops ever. So I'm sure there's a world of cool stuff I have to catch up on.
So
again, with the Irish stuff, I just don't know anything about it. Going on, really. I knew about the Mr. Amperduke stuff because I've never actually met Bob Byrne, but we're always emailing each
other. I think it's the same with a lot of the Irish comic people. Nobody's met each other,
They're all kind of aware of
I must go along to one of these the kind of Irish Comic Cons or one of them.
I was at Comic Con last year.
Was it good?
It was pretty good.
Obviously they're probably small scale or whatever.
It was fairly small. There was a lot of Marvel people, like Mark Miller was there and stuff like that, but it was pretty cool. There was a lot of Irish people there doing sketches and talked to. It was very cool.
Yeah, it'd be lovely to bump into some people.
It's good.
Definitely head along to that.
Yeah, you should, definitely.
Cool.
And you were saying actually, like, apart from Irish comics, you're into Chris Ware and Daniel Klaus.
All that Fantagraph stuff there, that's my...
I think that's kind of a publisher that you kind of just, anything you buy that they published is usually great.
That's it. I mean, they just, it's kind of, it's all specialised. Like, it's just beautiful stuff. They're all the best artists and just the best work. It's cool.
Actually, that sort of strip, I'm not sure what it was for, the Sudoku City, was it?
Oh, yeah, that was for the Observer. There was this thing in the Observer, was like a kind of one-page graphic novel competition, basically. So, I think they had like 1,000 submissions or something. So but we were like, oh god, this is brilliant to win. And basically they publish a full page in the thing.
Oh wow.
But we didn't win, but it was just a cool kind of...
Yeah, because I was just there, it reminded me a little of Chris Ware and the sort of like innovation in terms of the structure and putting the panels. Because
I think Andrew probably had that in mind anyway, but he just wanted to kind of, so you can read it up and down, the way Sudoku works. But so that was, I thought that was really cool. And I think even after we did it, he was like, oh, I'd love to have had more time. And so I think he's planning on doing some more.
Oh, wow,
even crazier kind of navigation. Or what's the word? Navigation?
Navigation. That works. We can fix it in the
visual navigation? I don't know.
Did Sudoku City come before Dystopia or was it after?
It was kind of during it. We were just going to do a dystopia. Crossover. Yeah, it was going to be a dystopia story, and then he just came up with... because he wanted to do something rather than just a straight kind of narrative. He wanted to do something like that. Narrative, that's the word.
I love the way that all the characters have a colour, but when they appear in someone else's panel, they'll still be there. Like, he'll be red or whatever in the background.
Yeah,
in the
blue panel, like that.
That's really nice.
Yeah, I thought that worked really well.
You have upcoming, is it this week, the exhibition of all different artists who've redone covers of albums? Is that?
That's the 19th. 19th of June, so that's... Tomorrow week, is
tomorrow,
it? Yeah, Thursday week. So 19th of June. It's Candy Karaoke.
Yeah.
So I think they have 70 artists. Have you been? Ever been in a Monster Truck?
No.
It's a cool little gallery up on Francis Street there. So
yeah.
But like they're gonna have 70 pieces. So it's probably about twice the size of this room.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine 70 frame pieces. So it's gonna look amazing. I'd say it'll be totally insane. Like.
And what you chose, I Jonathan, is that?
I Jonathan. By Jonathan Richmond. Yes.
Yeah. Excellent.
What was the criteria for this? You had to pick it like an album cover. Pick,
yeah, your favorite or one of your favorite album covers, and just kind of reinterpret it. So, but it all had to be original kind of stuff. Or if you're a photographer, you have to kind of get nice proper prints and stuff. So,
Then
they're gonna frame them all in the same frames.
Oh, excellent!
So it should be cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
And what else have you got? Like anything coming up that you can?
Nothing really, actually. No, this kind of. I'm just trying to think too. No, I'm gonna just probably. Usually the summer counts in a bit for the commercial stuff, so I'm gonna get busy then, starting to paint again. The chap Fergal Brennan, I did an exhibition with before. Hopefully, do another one with him in London, maybe or.
Oh wow! Yeah.
We're thinking maybe do a small one in Cork, just to get back into it or something.
Yeah.
Hopefully, try and get one in London, which would be cool. So just to kind of. Get out of Dublin and try it somewhere else and see what happens. That'll probably be September, October or something.
Oh,
but yeah, nothing really planned. Just take it easy for a
minute. Yeah. Well, if we can jump back quite a bit to when you were small.
To when you were born.
Yes. I guess like everyone read comics. Did you read comics when you were small?
It was my life. So, my older brother Andrew, he's like... 8 years older than me, and so he brought all the comics into the house. But I remember when he came home with Prague 400 of 2008, which was I suppose about 1986 or something.
Yeah.
So I was 10 or 11, and he was going, "Have you ever seen this?" I mean, I remember he used to have a few issues of it, but he was like, "Look, I'm going to start collecting this."
Yeah.
And it was coming up to the 8th birthday of 2008 or something. But I just remember it was like the start of a Judge Death story, and I was just like, "Oh my god!" And then. About 3 weeks later, Super Surf 7, the Chopper story started, and I was just like, oh my god! So then we were hooked then for the next, for the rest of my life then.
So
2000 D pretty much just completely flipped my life.
And like through school, I guess, presumably, like you did art, I guess, a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only thing I was good at. that was the main contrast. I was kind of in a school as well where. It was very academic school, so it didn't really cater for me. So all the teachers thought I was a spy. So. Poor me.
Well, you can look at them now. You can laugh at them now. Look at me. I've got my pictures on the back of buses. What do you have?
it was fine, but would have been nice to, you know, because school is not really catered for that kind of stuff. You got to get your marks, and then if you want to go to art college, then then off you go, but so it's kind of tough.
You went to Dunleary then.
Went to Dunleary then, yeah.
In for college, and what did you study there?
I did design there.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was at the time when design was kind of all cool, and computers were kicking in, and it was like in a way I kind of wish I'd done animation at the time. I was like, well, maybe I should have done animation. But I'm actually glad I got that design background and then got into the illustration and stuff. So. Because kind of give you a good balance then, I think.
Excellent.
Does the does having a computer involved in the process of creating something, does it change it a lot? Do you know what I mean?
I used to only draw on the computer with the Wacom tablets or mouse or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just exclusively that. Oh no.
Go for it.
Take it. Please, record the call on.
Clean, I'm doing a podcast. What do you want?
Second City
later. Well, I'll talk to you later.
I was thinking we could get cocktails in.
In the back. Sorry, I'll turn that off.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine, Dorvin.
So the computer, I'm writing on using the mouse a lot for the.
Yeah, so I literally didn't do any drawing, like hand drawing, for about 5 years, and then a friend of mine, Mike, was like, "Why don't you ever do your old hand drawing stuff like from college and stuff?" And I was like, because the computer's there. Yeah. It's like, but it's so, you know, it just basically, all the stuff I was doing was tracing photos, and it just looked so boring. It was like, that kind of period when it was all fashion models and all those horrible illustrations.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, oh God, actually, I hate doing this. And any time I was doing them, I was tense going, it isn't me.
Yeah, yeah.
So then just kind of bought some nice pens and just haven't looked back since, pretty much.
Yeah. And how, like, the process, like, so you would draw it in real life, as it were. And,
I think I have your thing here.
All right, excellent.
Which I must give to you. I always end up with piles of paper. Just draw with just pen and ink, you know what I mean? I don't even finish the, like, these kind of things. This is for a book, for kids' book in... over in the UK, it's for this French book. So just draw them all in pen and ink, or like these cool brush pens I get in Japan. They're really nice things.
Awesome.
Scan them in and colour them in Photoshop. So it's kind of half and half now at this stage, which is kind of cool. I think you guys are there. That's the, awesome. The top half of you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
There we are. That's pretty excellent.
I have your legs there somewhere. But
don't worry.
So yeah, so that's kind of the way awesome. The way it works. So now for me anyway. So a lot of scanning.
Yeah.
And then colour in Photoshop, and it seems to do the job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But is it like easy enough to like? Because my only experience of scanning stuff is, you know, badly scanning things and it really looks like it's scanned. But I guess if it's just a clear white page and it's
clear white page and Photoshop, so like all the new Photoshops have loads of cool stuff. You can fix them in seconds. So like, I mean, this is the thing I'm working on for Denny Rushers.
I saw Denny up on your to-do board and I was going to ask.
Is that Denny just Rushers? Yeah, I was guessing.
This is the thing actually I'm working on here. So this, I don't know what layers of that. But basically, yeah. So that's all. They're all hand drawn, scanned in, and then just coloured in Photoshop. All
right.
Character by character, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I know this doesn't make sense. On
it's fine. Use your imagination.
Photoshop layers, colour. Yeah.
Did you learn Photoshop in college? Was that taught to you, or was
Photoshop 3 or 4 was out, which was like,
yeah.
You know, you couldn't do it, and all the computers had like 1 megabyte of RAM or something. So yeah. You do a filter and then you go, okay, I'm going off for lunch. And then you come back and it'd be just like, okay, we've colored your page. Thanks. So they were just really crap. But I mean, yeah, we learned a bit of it. It was mainly everything done by hand. And like, I was actually at the Deliri exhibition, and everything is just done on computers.
Yeah.
Everything. Which is, you know, the norm now.
Yeah, of course.
And it just looks so slick compared to all our hand-drawn stuff back then.
Yeah, excellent.
So it's cool.
So I guess, like, you spend a lot of time just constantly drawing and painting and doing, I guess, like, you would be really busy.
Yeah, just, I mean, I'm busy in here every day now. I mean, I used to come in, like, at 11 or 12 and kind of do a bit, but I'm in at, like, you know, 9:30 every morning and just half the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Until 9:30 at night, working away. But, so it's good. I mean, it's no complaint to be.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty, it looks like a pretty cool place to work. This is like the coolest room I've ever been in.
We should take some photos.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Yeah, I mean, when we first moved in, we just had 2 desks. Like, my girlfriend was working here as well. She's in our studio now. And this is just accumulated over time, just all the junk of filled up. So I need to get a skip and throw out a bunch of stuff, it's good to have a good environment to work in, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets a bit hot in the winter and a bit too cold in this. Or sorry, a bit the other way around.
Yes.
Yeah. But, that's grand,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. One.
Cool, excellent.
I guess.
Do it.
Yeah, no. This is like so professional. This is like his podcast we've ever done.
No, that's the thing. That's it was all like, and that was rounding up today's podcast.
I guess thanks very much for.
Yeah, well, thanks for dropping in.
Cool. Yeah.
Good chat.
Yeah. And good luck in the future. Continued success.
Yeah,
and
good
all
luck
that.
With the other podcast. I'll be checking in every week.
Cool.
And we're back.
That we are. That was our interview with Mr. Chris Judge, the affable. The beautiful.
The charismatic. Do you want to go through all the letters? Delightful.
Delightful.
Energetic. Friendly. Homely. Intelligent. Jolly. Kingly.
I join in, but I'm not sure what comes after some of these letters.
Lovely. Yeah, etc.
Yeah.
Very nice guy, as you could probably tell by that interview. He also gave us loads of free shit, so that was kind of nice.
It was. So for future interviewees, that is now the qualifier. Yeah, the norm.
Free stuff.
Yeah, we want free stuff.
Should we point out, this being our first interview,
special,
and by special, interview regular, that if you want to get on the show, get an interview, please email us at the Comicast.
Specify what free stuff you're going to give
gmail.com. A list of the free stuff. If you want to be interviewed.
Like, we'd love to talk to you.
We don't just interview anybody. You have to have some sort of body of work that we can chat about, or something that, you know, some sort of comic related or animation thing.
Yeah,
to talk about. Otherwise,
it'd just be silly.
And people wouldn't be that interested.
I guess we should say, as we did say, it was our first interview.
It was a little rough.
It was a little rough, and there was certainly a lot of questions that that we meant to ask that were like, we should have asked that question.
If you were to give that interview a rating, Liam, what rating would you give?
We'll go with the 10 out of 10 scale.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 10.
You're gonna give it a 10. Chris Judge was lovely. I'm gonna give it a 4.
If we're marking the interview skills.
Yeah. No, I mean the whole podcast. This video audio file. If you were listening to it, what would you rate it?
I'm giving
a 10.
I am, because, you know, frankly, if people are listening to this right now, they've already listened, you know, to this. It doesn't matter what we rate it, unless they're very clever and they've skipped onto this part.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to give it 4 out of 7 tomatoes.
4 out of 7 tomatoes?
Yes, which is the tomato scale.
great. So we'll put that up on the podcast. It's got 4 tomatoes and 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Thanks for tuning in.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, have a week.
There were beverages laid out for the party. There were candy and spices and tri-colored pastas. Was drawn from succulent juices, served on platters of the purest gold. I was calm when we arrived at the party. I spoke with fervor, embracing the evening. My wife leaned over. She whispered, I love you. I held her close and we danced. We had the best time at your party. The wife and I, thank you very much. We had the best time at your party. The wife and I, dreamt about me, maybe throwing a party. And just how great that would be. We had the best time at your party. The wife and I, thank you very much. We had the best time at your party. The wife and I, thank you very much.
And about the oh, it's kind of in my head now. The
I have no idea what you're...
Yeah, no, I have no... It's actually...
We'll cut this.
we'll cut this so I don't sound completely incapable of talking as a host on a show.
Beer? Loon? Eggs?
I don't know what you're going for. All right, well, let's just forget that for a second.